Ed Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has got a government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Bruton, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Donald Trump looks like he might be in a bit of trouble at the moment. Where are we with the Mueller investigation, especially in regards to what Michael Flynn has copped to and how he might be now cooperating?
Well, Michael Flynn is obviously cooperating. Let me just say one thing about Michael Flynn and why he's doing this. It costs him several hundred thousand dollars to defend himself. So he's running out of money. And there's a good chance, even though he's a retired general, his pension will be taken away. So he is in difficult personal financial shape. And then his son was part of everything he did. And his wife signed the tax returns. So if you put yourself in that position, what do you want to know? And in his case, he knew a lot. He was with Trump every moment, from the time he got up in the morning until the time he went to bed. He was his personal advisor. He did everything but shine his shoes. So for him to say he didn't know anything would be impossible. Now, what does he know that's important? The important thing he knows is that during the transition, he called the Russian ambassador several times and other Russian people. Now, why is this important? Can't you just call the Russians? Of course you can. But you cannot if you're the government in waiting. There's a strict law, the Logan Act, that says the incoming government cannot do anything to undermine the present government that is in office. But this was even worse. They were talking about the relationship they had during the campaign. So what's going to happen? Flynn is going to say that he was directed by somebody to do this, most likely Jared Kushner. But Flynn had direct access to the president. So who's going to drop the penny first? So it really looks like this Russian collusion thing is full on. And Flynn is going to be the linchpin to this. It's interesting that back in the Nixon days, it was John Dean. We have a very similar situation now. So it looks like Jared Kushner, who has revised his statement 15 times, and there are still some things that he has not provided answers to the U.S. Senate. So Kushner is going down. That is the president's immediate family. What happens next? Does the president try to save him? That's what Nixon did, and that's what led to obstruction of justice. So that's where the investigation's heading.
And of course, the question with Nixon, as the question with Trump, is what did the president know and when did he know it? Now, Donald Trump's Twitter account has sent a tweet suggesting when Flynn was fired, Trump knew he had been lying to the FBI, which has only come out now. Some are claiming this is obstruction of justice, straightforward obstruction of justice, given Trump kept this hidden and also pressured the then FBI director James Comey to let it go when it came to Flynn. Trump's lawyer has jumped in saying he was the one who drafted the tweet, essentially jumping on the sword for Trump. What's your take?
Well, that lawyer, of course, can be censored for that. But more importantly, it really tells us that this is contemporaneous thinking, that the lawyer drafted nothing. This is Trump making a statement. If that lawyer is questioned by the Mueller team and says he drafted that again, and Mueller questions him again and he says it again, then that guy is going to be disbarred and go to jail. So we have a situation here where the president himself is admitting to obstruction of justice by not telling the truth about what went on and knowing the man was lying. So we have probably the prima facie case here. That won't do it because of the base. So Mueller is going to stack this on. He'll go after everyone. He'll go after, Hope. He'll go after everyone surrounding the president. And I think they're going to let the Congress go after Trump Jr. Because the only thing you have to do is mislead the Congress. That is a felony. You don't have to lie to them. You just have to mislead them. How many times did we find out different people were in that room on the 16th? He never said. When asked who was in the room, he only said four people. It's now up to nine. So that is misleading the Congress of the United States. It would be very interesting for the Congress to issue an indictment against Donald Jr. The president would then be face to face with the Congress of the United States. What does he do? Does he try to pardon his son? If he does, that is obstruction of justice. So this is a box that he can't get out of. And the question is, what new strategies does he use to cover this mess up? And let's hope the rocket man does not fall into place here and send up a rocket and starts a war, because then we cannot remove the president because a war is going on. So this is a very difficult situation the United States is facing.
I just want to, one final question before we move on from this particular topic. Now, Mueller is now reportedly looking into Trump's financials as a part of this investigation. That was something quite specifically Donald Trump came out and said that was a line not to cross when this investigation started. What happens if Trump tries to fire Mueller?
Well, first of all, he can't fire Mueller. Mueller does not report to him. Mueller reports to the Deputy Attorney General, and he is the only one constitutionally who can let Mueller go. The Senate has said very clearly, don't go there. He may try it, but it won't work. Mueller would ignore that. The Department of Justice would ignore it. Sessions would have to ignore it. So that would be a constitutional crisis. I think he's going to try other means, like getting Jeff Sessions to do it or someone else to do it. The biggest thing he'll try to do, though, is discredit Mueller. They've started with these FBI guys who said negative things about Trump, who were first put on as Mueller investigators. If Mueller found out about that, he removed them. So he'll go after that. He's going to do everything he can to destroy Mueller's reputation. And, of course, the team, Bannon and all those guys, are at work trying to do that now.
Looking a little more broadly, we've spoken a few times about the Republicans and tax. In fact, it seems the Republican Party's been quite happy for the Trump circus to take the spotlight while pushing through this extremely unpopular tax bill. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is the tax bill looks like after the Senate and the House in the United States, both parties have to agree on the bill. And so there'll be a conference committee. The thing that most people are hoping for is the Obamacare portions of the negative activity will be stricken. That was a price that Collins and others asked for. The other thing is the rich amount that they'll have to pay for taxes, which was taken out, some of that will be put back in. So wealthy people will have to pay a couple of percent more. And the other thing they may fall here is the ability to pass your entire fortune to your family without tax. So in the United States, after $6 million, there's a tax on the wealth. So the wealth tax may be fixed, but maybe they'll go up to $12 or $15 million. But the ability to pass on, as Trump would be able to do, his entire fortune to his family would probably be cut out. And the other portions of the bill, no one's talking about the 20% tax rate for corporations because the U.S. is in a war, in a trade war. And there are all these countries around the world with 15, 10% tax rates, small countries, big companies like Google and so forth. Google was using Ireland as its tax haven. So I think the United States is just going to, it's a race to the bottom in the tax area. This won't produce any more jobs, but I think the United States has to do this, unfortunately. And it certainly will not produce any breaks for the middle class. And for the lower income people, they'll lose a lot of their benefits in order to get this tax bill through, because you cannot have a deficit in excess of $1.5 trillion by any act of Congress. This one gets right to the limit. In order to roll that limit back, they're going to have to take something away from people, and it'll be the poor.
Still in domestic news, and some rather surprising news this week, the U.S. Supreme Court is allowing Donald Trump's travel ban on several Muslim-majority countries to go into full effect. This was previously repeatedly blocked on legal grounds, rather embarrassingly for Trump, but those previous injunctions have been lifted. What's changed?
Well, a couple things have changed. Trump's taken out some of the nations, so it doesn't look like it's all Muslim nations, and thrown in some, like Venezuela. So basically, the court argument was whether places that have domestic wars going on internally create a threat to the United States. Obama used the same method to keep people out from coming from Syria, people coming in from Uzbekistan and Afghanistan and so on. So there's a clear history of presidential use of that travel ban in cases where there's domestic terrorism going on in a country. So there's been no change. But what this does, it's another strike in 2018 for the Democrats, because they'll go out and say, hey, your brother can't visit the United States. Your cousin can't visit the United States. Your relatives from Australia can't visit the United States because they have a stamp in their passport from one of these countries. So the Democrats will use this. You have not heard a big hullabaloo about this, because from the Democrats' point of view, this is another thing that will get out the vote for them, and maybe they can get some more seats.
And probably the biggest news of the week when it comes to the United States and international relations, Trump is moving the U.S. Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and recognizing Jerusalem as the capital. This move, in spite of how it might feel, it hasn't come out of just thin air. Previous administrations have kind of flirted with this idea, and I don't think it's any secret America is pro-Israel, but it has sparked some condemnation and concerns about violence. What's your take, Ed?
Well, almost all the Middle East Arab nations are against it. They don't mind having Israel under check, but if it looks like Israel is getting the full support of the United States and things like maintaining its settlements and the like, because this move would be saying all the stuff Israel's done, the violation of UN charters, is now okay. And the United States is going to support them in this. Of course, moving an embassy isn't something you do overnight. Even moving the embassy in London took a decade. So there's a good chance that there'll be two or three presidents down the line before the first moving trucks ever went to a building and they could be called off. But what is more striking about this is a Trump move and not a United States move. You have not heard anything from the Congress in support of this move. So I think Mr. Trump, another diversion, another opportunity to feed his base, but of little consequence to the world and great embarrassment to the United States at large.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest on American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.